Daily Tech News for Friday, September 5th, 2014. My name is Justin Robert Young because Tom's not here, man. He's out living that abbondanza life out there in Italy, but we're going to do our best to fill you in on all the news that needs to be talked about. And it wouldn't be Friday if we didn't have the normal Daily Tech News Show Friday compatriot Darren Kitchen here. How you doing?
Hey, cheers. Keeping it liquid.
Yeah, keeping it about as liquid as we're going to be able to do. And you need to hydrate, Darren, because I feel like we are in store for a world-class rant.
This might be some hacking. Thank you for bringing the beard, by the way.
Oh, I
do my honor.
If we're going to be without Tom, we're going to go double beard. Speaking of the illustrative quality that we bring for you on this show, we have none other than Len Peralta, of course, Drawing Stories on Fridays. How you doing, Len?
Good, Justin. It's good to see you, and it's good to see you as well, Darren. I'm excited to get drawn for this special show. It is a special moment. Yes, special.
It is. I feel like we're all going to have a group moment here, and it will begin with the headlines. Apple CEO Tim Cook spoke to the Wall Street Journal today, promising additional steps to keep hackers out of user accounts, but said that none of the Apple IDs and passwords obtained in the recent celebrity iCloud leaks were taken from the company's servers. Cook said hackers obtained the nude photos of more than 100 women by either correctly guessing security questions to obtain passwords or by obtaining the data from a phishing scam. Apple will launch new security measures in 2 weeks, alerting users via email and push notifications when somebody tries to change an account password, restore iCloud data to a new device, or when a device logs into an account for the first time. Apple will also begin encouraging users to turn on two-factor authentication and overall pay more attention to account security. We discuss much more of this with Darren in a few. GigaOm has the roundup of Thursday's Motorola event in Chicago, where the company unveiled updated versions of its Moto X and Moto G smartphones and revealed its new Android Wear smartwatch, the Moto 360. As expected, the round smartwatch was the star of the party. The 360 pairs with any smartphone running Google Android 4.3 or above using Bluetooth and features wireless charging. Motorola says the wireless radio is powerful enough to allow a user to leave their paired phone several rooms away and still access apps on their watch. The 360 is a heart rate monitor, pedometer, and responses to touchscreen and Google Now voice commands, weighs 1.72 ounces, features interchangeable bands, and costs $250. Also, it's sold out. Yes, we have no Moto 360 smartwatches, but we're sure they're going to make some more. We should probably tell you about the phones, too. The Moto X's AMOLED screen grew from 4.7 inches to 5.2 inches, featuring full HD resolution. And Motorola has contracted Chicago tannery Horween. Yes, you heard me. Now let's all say it together. Horween.
Horween.
Did I
get it right?
Yes, that was perfect. To design custom leather back plates. The X will cost $100 with a contract from U.S. carriers or $500 for the unlocked, unsubsidized version. The Moto G also got an upgrade to speaker, processor, camera, and screen and will be sold as an unsubsidized unlock phone only for $180. One more Moto nugget to jam right in your ear. The Verge reports that the company also unveiled a wireless earbud called The Hint, which is about the size of a peanut and is intended to sit in your ear all day long. Think Joaquin Phoenix from Her, which they certainly don't shy away from the comparisons from. The Hint has about 3.3 hours of talk time, costs $149.99, and will be available in the fall. Reuters reports that an unknown hacker or hacker group broke into a test server supporting the U.S. healthcare.gov site and uploaded malicious files. The first intrusion occurred on July 8th when malware designed to launch DDoS attacks were uploaded. Healthcare officials told Congress no personal data was stolen.
It's all right. It was a test site, so it's just full of stuff from Northwind Traders and Contoso. That's a MCSE joke to the one there.
I'll tell you what. Anybody who got it is dying right now, Darren. Hoping to find Dota 2 sharing the same schedule as Monday Night Football and SportsCenter? Well, don't hold your breath. At Code Media Series New York, ESPN president John Skipper offered his opinion on esports. Quote, "It's not a sport. It's a competition. Chess is a competition. Checkers is a competition. Mostly, I'm interested in doing real sports." In November of last year, Riot Games claimed that it had 8.2 million concurrent Twitch viewers for its League of Legends championship. Not to compare chip stacks or anything, but ESPN reported a record 1.23 million total viewers for its live broadcast of the 2013 World Series of Poker Final Table, which, just by my estimation, seems a little bit more in Skipper's definition of a competition as opposed to a sport.
No, no, dude, it's a sport. If your avatar is like rocket jumping across a gorge in Quake 3, that's a sport. There's running involved for your avatar.
I think money is your keynote there, because if there is money in showing for a certain demographic these kind of things, then they will show up on ESPN, as we saw with poker. Reuters reports that lawmakers in New Orleans have voted to allow online for hire car companies like Uber to operate in the city. Under the new ordinance, Uber will be allowed to provide its Uber Black service, which enables passengers to connect with drivers of luxury cars via the smartphone app. The council did not vote on whether to authorize popular and less expensive Uber X or other ride-sharing services like Lyft, which have been the focal point of the legal challenges from taxi cab firms and regulators around the globe. Some of that legendary New Orleans government in action. But if that wasn't silly enough for you, it's that magic time, listeners, when all coffee is pumpkin coffee and the full corn moon hangs heavy in the sky, the silliest of seasons for Apple rumors in advance of their official announcement next week. So here, as a service to you on Daily Tech News Show, we're going to bring you the best. Brian X. Chen of the New York Times reports that the new larger iPhones will have a one-handed mode that can be toggled on and off to make their large screens easier to use. And furthermore, the rumored iWatch will be announced Tuesday, according to Chen, but not available until 2015. Conspicuously avoiding the very profitable Christmas season, which seems a bit dubious. What? Not dubious enough? How about this one from SlashFilm.com editor Peter Cerretta, who passed along a nugget on Twitter saying that you two allegedly shot
Me too?
What was that, Darren?
Me too?
Yeah. I did? Allegedly shot a commercial for an unnamed new Apple product in Ireland with legendary music video director Mark Romanek. Or fine, we can be boring and tell you the official announcement will be streamed to Safari browsers and Apple TVs, and according to their announcement, recommended only Safari browsers and Apple TVs, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, this Thursday, September 9th, live from the Flint Center of the Performing Arts in Cupertino, California, where 30 years ago Steve Jobs announced the original Macintosh. Now some news from you. These are picked fresh from the Daily Tech News subreddit. Metal Freak passes along a PC World report on a Chinese man who is suing one of the country's state telecommunications firms for disrupting access to Google after the government started blocking the company's service in May. Wang Long, a legal practitioner, sued China Unicom, demanding that the company provide an explanation and refund his internet, broadband, and mobile charges for the past 5 months. One Chinese state-run publication said that this is the first time a local resident has sued a company for failing to provide access to Google. P.T. Revathan, who I'm surely mispronouncing, shares a TechCrunch report about a new Google indoor mapping backpack, which is not at all ominously named the Cartographer. The backpack uses the process called simultaneous location and mapping, aka SLAM, let the boys be boys, which allows users automatically generated floor plans, which allows users to automatically generate floor plans in real time while using the tablet to map points of interest.
Can I just say, this is the first technology that needs to be implemented on swarms of drones as they, like, map out buildings as they go, and that'll just be awesome and epic. Just put a drone on it. Just saying, this one.
That's it. I feel like that's the answer to so many questions. And finally, AnCrod 2 has a Gizmodo report about the latest wearable technology. Hint, it ain't a watch. Researchers at Hong Kong Polytechnic have created fabric circuit boards. That's fabric woven out of a mixture of copper and elastic threads using computerized knitting technologies. The stretchy fabric is bulletproof, which has great potential for people who get shot. It also can carry a current and communicate, which means that someday your shirt can tell you that it's dirty and your yoga pants can inform you that they are indeed see-through while you are in downward dog. And that about wraps it up for our headlines. Real quick plug of the day, the Sword and Laser Anthology collects 20 amazing stories from new writers in the Sword and Laser Book Club audience. That's 10 sci-fi, 10 fantasy stories written and an introduction by name of the Win Wunderkind, Patrick Rothfuss himself. Get a copy at swordandlaser.com/store. Darren, I sent you an email today. We were figuring out what we were going to do for the discussion segment. And since you have not been on since this whole Apple naked photos kerfuffle broke out, I figured the audience deserved your point of view. You started off the email saying, I'm sick of this story and I have nothing to say about it, and then went for another 1,400 words. So let's just go ahead and what we want to do here is I think probably the more relevant issues to talk about are the cultural ones, but we're going to draw a circle around the technology element of this story and specifically Tim Cook's announcement. So I give to you, what is the corporate responsibility for security in situations like this?
Oh, man. The corporate responsibility is just such a balance, right? Because we're talking about internet companies whose primary goal it is to make money for the shareholders. And so while services could be more secure, in practice they would be a lot less convenient, and no manufacturer, no service provider wants to have the unuser-friendly interface, and because that could cost a ton in market share, and then, you know, you get that stigma of, oh, it's hard to use. So as the internet, as computers become appliances, these things need to be simple, and the frankly, security is not simple. So the corporate responsibility for security, for them, it's kind of like a risk analysis thing. For them, it begins at the risk of being the center of the next, you know, high-praised media hacking scandal, and then it ends at convenience and, of course, at the almighty dollar. And so it's kind of a numbers game, and unfortunately, privacy is just not, you know, it's not in your favor for privacy. I mean, there's, like, technologically speaking, there's no reason why 90% of the quote-unquote hacking scandals that we've seen in the last, you know, a couple of years have could not have be completely eradicated. I mean, there's, in fact, cryptographic means for services like Facebook to actually run their service without even knowing themselves what you post to your Facebook wall. Only you and your friends could know. The same technology could empower Google to offer a service where they don't even know what's in your Gmail, or Instagram wouldn't even be able to know what photo you uploaded, just you and your friends. But then how would you monetize that?
You have a very, very good point. So what is the difference between a company like Apple, which has made a lot of bones and publicly crowed about the fact that we are not trying to monetize who you are, we are charging you for these services up front, and we want you to buy our hardware and therefore use our cloud services, and free solutions like Facebook and Google, who are very upfront about the idea that we do not make money unless we know who you are and can sell that information to advertisers. Should we expect more from Apple in this?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, hopefully, if there's any silver lining with these stories, that this is what we're going to see. And this is kind of like what we always say is like, well, hopefully in a small way, this will make things better. And what's sad is that what's possible and what's being done are like two completely separate things, because it comes down to like being a business problem, you know, like, you know, these services, they need to be able to monetize. They want to, you know, like Apple, for instance, once you get you into their cloud services so that you'll continue buying Apple products, because again, it's just really convenient that it backs up everything. And but at the end of the day, you know, there's not a lot of pressure for companies to set up this kind of security, because who's going to, you know, figure out how to, you know, securely set up all of the crypto keys and distribute them and keep track of them? And then not to mention the fact that it's so much more expensive as far as the computing resources to offer a secure service. So while secure services do exist, like Diaspora or Friendica and decentralized cloud services of that nature, mostly when we talk about, you know, the cloud, we're talking about the major kingdoms, the Apples and the Googles and the Facebooks of the world. And honestly, just it's that the economics for it aren't in your favor of your privacy.
I presume that part of the reason why you initially did not want to talk about this is because of the coverage around it, which has frustrated me. And if it's frustrating me, I assume it is driving you up a wall. What are some of the things that you've seen that that completely have you worked your last nerve with this story?
Sure. Well, first of all, this story is one of those that just touches on a lot of human emotion, as we are all sexual creatures, as we all are a bit narcissistic to some degree, and that the internet brings that out. What a couple of things that drive me crazy is the idea that there is somehow shame in women taking nude selfies, or men for that matter. And if you believe that, then you're honestly part of the problem, because women are empowered, pants-wearing, voting, sexual people, and not just FAP JPEGs. The other thing that kind of ticks me off is the idea that, oh, the hackers, right? There's a phrase, I loathe to use it, but it's kind of apt in this sense, and that is, you know, hackers gonna hack, right? So just shake the hackers off, right? I wish the hackers would get the credit for the awesome that we do by doing things like building censorship-resistant networks and free speech-empowering networks like Tor and things of that nature, and not just a label to be used anytime, you know, a hacking technique is used. You know, that's like calling everyone who uses a computer a system operator. You know, we don't do that. So no, I'm just...
It's like, you know, every time there's a good horror movie, they call it suspense, right? Mm. It's just any time that there is some amazing technological advancement, we call it, you know, entrepreneurship or development or something like that. And anytime it's negative, it's look at all those crazy hackers doing hacker things.
Right. And then on the other side of the coin, you've got the celebrities, which, I mean, I get it, right? In the popularity contest that is life, you know, celebrities and other public figures are going to be a more high-value target, if you will. Honestly, I'm so counterculture, haven't seen anything produced by mainstream media in the last 5 years. I didn't even know who most of these people were until this story broke. But what bearing does that have on the popularity of a person or their celebrity? What bearing does that have on their, you know, the responsibility for their security and privacy online? I mean, we should all be taking this just as seriously. And the media is, most media are just hypocrites, right? I mean, we're seeing the same media outlets.
They have no idea what they're talking about.
Well, I mean, it's the same media outlets that objectify women, whether on the red carpet or whatever have you with the paparazzi, the same ones that are just like, hey, this is a great way, because these stories prey on our insecurities and our instinct to blame, and they drive click-throughs for ad dollars.
Well, and it also is, if you were to go to a lab and create the ultimate clickbaits headline, it might look something like naked Jennifer Lawrence photo creates Apple controversy, right? Like you have three gigantic words that you can put together in a sentence that get people to click on that sentence, because if you have one of them, it tends to drive traffic.
Before I get to my last point, can I go off on a tinfoil hat tangent?
Sure.
And that is to say, if we've ever watched any mainstream media, we've all been subjects of misinformation campaigns. If I were, you know, if I were a puppet of Congress and trying to pass some nefarious bill through right now, I would have my CIAs of the world putting together just such a juicy thing to get the entire world looking on this rather than, I don't know, things that are happening in Congress or on the Gaza Strip or wherever have you. But that's pretty much tinfoil hat. I think, to me, there's two things that are the most interesting here. First of all, society, and second of all, the technology. Society-wise, because, like as I said, in this sad state of affairs with the kingdoms that are the Facebooks and Twitters and Instagrams, and them holding the power when it comes to your security, because you're just, you get, you know, the checkboxes that they offer you, it's kind of a sad state of affairs, because if you want to be, say, you're a celebrity, you're kind of expected to Facebook, you're expected to Twitter and Instagram, and not just celebrities, we all are, right? The internet has changed society, and so what I, you know, just feel like you can't not be a part of it unless you don't want to be a part of society, and then, you know, to protect your privacy, what are you going to do, like opt out? I mean, yeah, sure, like I said, there's things like Diaspora and Friendica, but how many friends do you have on those services? And so today, it's like, you either live with the service online.
That you have as many friends on Friendica and Diaspora as you have in your bomb shelter that you've made underneath your house. So
yes. And so who wants to live a life of solitude? And that's not a good answer. So yeah, that's the most interesting aspect of it to me. And then I think that just because this is so high profile, it's probably going to spur some interesting discussions regarding the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. Things like, on the one hand, you have, well, all of these celebrities could send DMCA takedown notices on their copyrighted works.
Apparently they have, right? This has been a very interesting wrinkle to that they have produced, theoretically, their own illegally distributed pornography, right?
And then on the other hand, of course, you have things like Safe Harbor. So interesting discussions to be had there on the political side of that.
One thing that we didn't really prep for, but I'm curious your opinion on. I feel like there is an interesting conversation to be had about Reddit's values, and let's focus on Reddit for a second. But they've been at the epicenter of kind of the distribution of a lot of these pictures. They have a well-stated culture of protecting identity and anti-doxing, and many people have found hypocrisy with that with a popular subreddit whose name we will not mention, but it rhymes with The Happening. They have all these links to these photos, which is certainly a violation of privacy against the will of the people that took them, while side by side with anybody who posts information on the leakers will have their post automatically deleted. Do you find that hypocritical?
Well, I mean, I don't think you can actually say, pointing at Reddit as a brand, as a corner of the internet, say that, you know, that's hypocritical when you consider that all of that is, you know, Reddit in of itself is agnostic. It's just a technology platform, much the same way that 4chan is, right? And that's kind of like saying, you know, look at the hypocrisy on / B, right? So that's just pointing out the hypocrisy of human nature,
which
kind of goes back to the top of what I was saying about how, you know, we're all flawed creatures, and we're all narcissistic, and we're all sexual creatures, and but the same thing could be said any other platform. You know, you gather people together, you're going to get this wherever you go.
Well, I think that there is something very important, though, to the idea of anonymity. It is a cornerstone of the internet. I feel that it hurts that argument when you are you come into these contradictions. And let's not say Reddit, because I totally agree with you that in the, you know, somebody brought up in the chat room here that, you know, there's a now kind of infamous CNN clip of them, two people, a trained professional broadcast journalist, which is kind of, anybody who looks to broadcast journalism for real analysis is kind of silly, in my opinion. But discussing who is this 4chan guy and when can we bring him to justice? So I don't want to say Reddit does it. Let's just draw a circle around the moderators of this one board that has kind of become very, very well-trafficked. I feel that there does hurt the larger, very important argument for protecting anonymity when we get into these border skirmishes of silliness. And I think it hurts this larger concept.
Well, yes, and I think that that's just part of the double-edged sword that is anonymity. See, on the one hand, you're right. Anonymity allows you to be a jackass without any repercussions. Likewise, anonymity may be, and especially the internet as it is kind of like a unifying place where we can all be, you know, equal, or at least in theory, that that you can actually be yourself without fear of prejudice from your government. You know, you can talk about your, you know, transgender or your political views, or you can start a revolution, right? And that's something that you can't necessarily do without anonymity. So it's a double-edged sword. And yeah, it's if Reddit wasn't anonymous, then the next place would be. So
I think this is certainly something where I wanted to talk to you, because I feel like all the important technological stuff is something that I've heard you talk about on this show a million times, and you could probably replay a lot of your opinions on it between this and Hack 5 and get a full idea of what you were going to say. But it's important to hear now, while we have just this clickbait a tree shredder of nonsense that kind of swirls around a story like this, where it's just people copy and pasting Wikipedia definitions of what the cloud is and calling it news and analysis. But thank you very, very much.
Thank you. The TLDR is security, convenience. That's it. And for the audio listeners, convenience will always win.
Well, let's go ahead and take a look at the calendar. Tomorrow, September 6th through the 7th, is the TechCrunch Disrupt Hackathon in San Francisco. And then September 7th through the 12th, the NewCo opens its doors in San Francisco to allow executives, entrepreneurs, investors, and future influencers to get a look at the innovative new startups. So basically, it's every single day in San Francisco and Silicon Valley, except at a conference. The pick of the day is What If by Randall Monroe via Preston. Preston writes, I just wanted to throw in a pick of the day for Randall Monroe's new book, What If. Although I haven't read it yet, I have read all of his entries on his site, what-if.xkcd.com. Again, if you don't know, Randall Monroe, of course, writes the hugely popular and influential XKCD webcomic. And I really enjoy them all. Randall tackles absurd hypothetical questions such as, what if there was a robot apocalypse? How long would humanity last? And has humanity produced enough paint to cover the entire land of the Earth using science, logic, and humor? Ever wonder if you could lift yourself into the air with guns, Yosemite Sam style? The answer is in there. And also, the answer is yes, but don't try it at home. You can go ahead and find What If Scientific Hypothetical Questions at Amazon. And I am also looking very much forward to reading that collection. Send your picks to feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com, or you can find Tom's picks at dailytechnewsshow.com/picks. And finally, let's move on to the messages of the day. Jamie Brand writes in about our RDO discussion yesterday. You mentioned in episode 2315 about the music industry's quest to make money in the age of online streaming. Personally, I think the age of artists profiting from music sales are already behind us. Royalties from streaming services are going to be negligible at best, and people are not going to be buying MP3s in the iTunes store as these streaming services become more and more prominent. I think artists are going to be making their money through endorsements, touring, and merchandise. With Lady Gaga earbuds or Dr. Dre iPod docs, artists are going to be collecting exposure and popularity through various streaming services and turning those into profits through their endorsement deals, not to mention increased ticket prices at their live shows. Personally, I think they're going to make a killing, and some already have in this regard. There's certainly an argument to be made there, Jamie. The question is, when do we get to the point where the average artist gets at least a sliver of what we are seeing now between Lady Gaga and Dr. Dre? You can't go from zero to beats in two albums, you know? I mean, and especially in this fractured universe. I think that they'll be very, very hard to do. But in an era where kind of advertising, or at least traditional display advertising, seems to be in decline, you got to figure that people who are very popular in music spheres, or maybe even guest host for Daily Tech News podcast spheres, could very much cash in on people looking to get their message out. And also, Randall writes in, I'm not sure if you knew this, but the Oculus Rift uses a screen from the Galaxy Note 3, so it makes sense that Samsung would be working with Oculus as they have already. They're using the screen to provide a low persistence effect for their display. Just wanted to point this fact out for you. Absolutely right, Randall, and I feel like a real silly goose for not bringing that up with Tom yesterday. If you look at the iFixit teardown of the Oculus Rift, it literally just says Galaxy Note 3. It's not like they took the same components and rebranded it. It is the exact same screen.
I'm so happy for these guys. I got to meet them at CES before they blew up and actually got to try it out. And I'm so happy that they were able to sell out when the money was still good, to be honest, because that is just one of those technologies that is so infinitely copyable.
Darren, you really need to go down there. They have these VRLA meetups monthly down in Los Angeles. You got to head down there because you would dig it the most. It is nice. An amazing scene for what just random in their garage devs are doing with this kind of stuff. And as soon as the DK2 becomes the operating platform of choice as opposed to the DK1, I feel like there's just going to be more and more amazing, DK1. Awesome. Yes.
DK1.
What was that?
I'm just pointing out that I'm DK1. Everybody else can follow online.
Well, DK1, where can people find you?
HAK5.org. We've got a great show this week. We are talking about Wi-Fi hacking birdhouses. So find out about how we can do some fun stuff with reconnaissance and surveillance and Wi-Fi in your own backyard.
That is amazing, amazing stuff. Darren, thank you so much for helping me carry this load here with Tom gone out in Italy.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
And now let's go ahead and take a look at Len. Len Peralta has been drawing the news stories as we have gone along. Let's go ahead and take a look at what he finished up here.
Yeah, it's you talked about the new layer of security that Apple is initiating. I have my own layer of security that I think that Apple should initiate called the Jawcracker, which is basically a big, huge hand that comes out of your phone, slaps you silly if you do the naughty stuff, bad stuff. So this comes in three available modes. Slap of Common Sense is the first. It's kind of a mild one. Angry Hulking Brother, and the one that really hurts them a lot is the Justice Seeking Dad. So,
for anybody who is just listening to the audio, this is an amazing picture. You have really outdone yourself on this one, Len.
Oh, thank you so much.
We have teeth flying in midair out of this The pervert who is on his phone trying to look at naughty stuff not only looks quite a lot like Len getting punched in the face, but also an L shirt on, as if to
the L was for loser, but it was that's not supposed to be me.
it's like the schoolyard. Why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself? Come on, Len. Why are you hitting yourself?
Len, where can people get this print at?
Well, they can go check it out at LenPeraltaStore.com. And I also want to mention, coming back from Dragon Con, I was on a panel with you, Jerry, and Veronica and Tom about crowdsource funding. Done Kickstarters in the past. I just launched a new Patreon. Check it out for my speed drawing videos. If you go there, just search Patreon/Len.
Go ahead and support one of the best in the business at internet art. Thanks again, Len, for helping me not make this a complete mockery of the institution that is Daily Tech News Show.
It was wonderful. Thank you so much, Justin, for having me.
And of course, a huge thanks to all 4,258 patrons that support this show. And thanks to all the patrons for supporting all the shows. If you would like to donate, go head on over to dailytechnewsshow.com/donate. And don't forget that you have a voice in what stories we cover at the subreddit, dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. Email us feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com and call us 512-59-DAILY. That is 593-2459 if you're not into that whole letters to numbers thing. And listen to the show live at mobile.alphageekradio.com. Visit our website at dailytechnewsshow.com. We have a huge show on Monday. Tom will still be on vacation. However, Scott Johnson, Brian Ibbett, and myself will be here. We will see you guys for Apple Announcement Eve on Monday. See you next time.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.